Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about tonight, we've already been on this, we're going to continue talking about answered prayer. The first message we did on this, we talked about lifestyle, how our lifestyle can affect our prayer life. And, I'm going to probably do about five of these teachings. We'll just have to see. But, answered prayer is better than just praying to be praying. I'm just praying to be praying. Well, you ought to pray for answers. You ought to pray for results. I mean, if you're going to put in the time, you might as well get something out of it, right? You know what I'm saying? And so how do we do that? Well, you need to learn what the Bible says about prayer. Sometimes, when you're a baby, the reins are a little looser, you get a little bit more freedom and so forth in your prayer life. But as you grow, God expects you to get more accurate in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. But, someone said this one time years ago. I heard someone say this. They said, being in the will of God's like being in a triangle. You got a triangle, and down here at the bottom, there's a lot of space. But the closer you get to the point, the less space there is to move around. And they said, that's like being in the will of God. When you first start out, there's a lot of room down there, But as you get a little closer and you want to get more defined and on target, you don't have as much room to move around. Amen. And, as you grow in your prayer life, God expects us to grow up and have some understanding about how to approach Him, how to pray, how to do this thing according to the Word. Amen? Amen. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is the title of tonight, of course, this is answered prayer too, but the title of the message tonight is Word-Based. Amen. Mark chapter 4, let's go there. And, scripture we've read before, but it's good again. Sometimes, there's things I like to eat. I don't just like them once. Praise the Lord. Certain places in town, I like to get a steak. Not all places, but certain places I like to get a steak. I'm not as big a red meat eater as I used to be. I'm more like chicken, that kind of thing. But, I like a good steak every now and then. And there are certain places, I don't just get it once. I'll go back. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. I'm like, wasn't it General MacArthur said, I shall return. I've gone to restaurants before and thought, I shall not return. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. There's a place here in town, I like brisket. And there's a place here in town that has good brisket. Now, I don't know whether I should advertise for them or not, but anyway, it's Mission Barbecue. Yeah. And they have good brisket, And, the other night, I just returned there by myself. I was hoping I'd see, Brian or James there because they like that place too, but they weren't there, and so I had to buy my own lunch anyway. Actually, it was supper, because Phyllis isn't much on that place. She's not a barbecue person, but I'm a barbecue person, so, I need me some barbecue pals. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you know what? It was good. And I'll go back and get it again. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Word is, you know what I'm saying? I knew a preacher, I haven't seen him in years, but Phyllis will know who I'm talking about. It seemed like about every time he preached out of Mark chapter 4. I thought, is that the only chapter he's got in his Bible? But it was good. Every time he preached on it, it was good. That's just where he was at, man. He liked Mark 4. Well, let's go to Mark 4. Mark 4 is good, by the way. Jesus said, verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. Well, how many know we need to sow the word in our life as much as we can, right? And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan, now notice who this is, it's Satan doing this, comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now it just dawned on me one time reading that if he came immediately, he must be terrified of it. Right? I don't know, everybody's different in their approach, but if I saw a snake in my house, I would do something about it immediately. Yes. Immediately. I saw one in the yard yesterday. Well, actually, he was in a neighbor's yard, but he was very close to he was close to the property line, getting really close, too close for Miss Phyllis. She doesn't like snakes. We had a brown one living around out there, and she'd tell me, you kill him. I said, I'm not going to kill him. As long as he's in his domain, I'm leaving him alone. And she kept after me, you're going to kill him. I said, okay, if I see him again, I'll kill him. He must have heard because I never saw him again. Anyway, Well, I figure, you know, if they're not bugging me, I'm not going to bug them. You know, if they bug me, you bite me, you're dead. But anyway, you know, or you even try, I'll probably kill you. But, you know, some things you jump on immediately. I mean, the back porch catches on fire and you say, well, you know, I'm watching TV right now. I mean, you're going to jump on it immediately, right? Why? Because it's a high priority. We got to get this put out or the whole house is going to burn down. Amen? I mean, Pastor Jerry, when he gets hungry, he jumps on it immediately. Immediately. No, absolutely not. And so, you take him to a restaurant and you have to wait like 15 minutes, he goes and eats off other people's plates while he's waiting. Can I have one of your fries? All right, I made that up. But yeah, I'm pretty close to that. It wasn't much made up. Let me know, something that you jump on immediately, it's high priority. So if the devil comes immediately to try to get the word, he knows where his defeat's at.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know, an evangelist I knew, he's gone on to heaven now. But anyway, he said, you know, he said, I was having a meeting one time. And he said, you know, he said, we'd have a good meeting. And he said that it'd be good. He said, it'd be like the next day, we'd have to start over again. The next night, we'd have to start over again. So he said, it began to bug me, you know, because we'd build up in the meeting. And you think, you know, you should build on that, you know. The next night, you should just be building on that. And he said, that'd just be flat again, and we'd have to start over again. He said, so I spent the afternoon in the church praying, and he said, I had this vision. And he said, I was looking out in the parking lot, and I saw this vision. And he said, they were like these bird, vulture-looking creatures out in the parking lot. And he said, it's like when people would go out to their cars, these birds would kind of attack them. And he said, the Lord said, that's the devil stealing the word out of these people. He said, you need to deal with that. You know, because if the devil, I mean, no, it's not literally Satan who's coming every time to get the word out of you. He's got people that work for him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Did you know, now, listen, let me just say this. Someone figured up, you know, one time in Revelation it talks about how many angels were around the throne. And someone figured that up, how many that was, but, you know, run it through a computer. And they came up with trillions and trillions of angels around the throne. Trillions and trillions of angels. Amen. Well, the devil's got a lot of people working for him. And so they come to steal the word immediately. Now, I'm preaching on this because the thing of it is if they're after the word like that, that must mean the word's valuable. And he doesn't want us to get a hold of it. And he knows it's his defeat. Amen. Verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, or they're just temporary. I mean, they're excited about the word, but if they get some pressure on them, then they don't last. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, why does it arise? You know, I'm reading now the old King James, it says affliction or persecution. I think new modern translations may say tribulation. Tribulation. Why does it come? For the word's sake. Did you know? Maybe you did. You're real smart. I know that. Did you know that probably, this is just a guesstimate, but it's as good as anything the government would give you. Probably at least 85 to 90% of the church believes that tribulation and persecution comes to make you more like Jesus. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said it came to get the word out of you. So who are we going to believe? I'm going to believe the Bible. Now, I've heard people say, you know, I know God wanted me sick, because when I got in the hospital, I witnessed to the nurse and she got saved. Well, God will use you wherever you're at, whatever circumstance you're in. But did you know that nurse was in that hospital before you were sick? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I never would have met her. Well, all right, that may be true. But that doesn't mean God caused the sickness to come on you to get you there. Don't you believe he's smart enough to lead you there? Right? I mean, if your child, you don't lead your children that way. Well, I'm trying to get them to go to the bathroom and comb their hair, so I knocked out one of their teeth, so they go in there and look. How many know you got better weight? How many know there's something wrong with that scenario? That was kind of lame illustration, wasn't it? Anyway. But there's something wrong with that scenario. You don't teach your kids that way, right? You speak to them, right?
Amen.
Right? You know, it's like I was watching Andy Griffith one time. You know, I watch it every now and then. usually now more than then. Anyway, and you know, Opie comes out of the bathroom, and Andy said, "Did you brush your teeth?" He said, "Just fill the toothbrush." See that old kid trick of wetting it and making it, you know. And he said, "Let me tell you a story." He said, "I knew this boy. He used to just act like he was brushing his teeth, and he just wet the toothbrush, and you know, he had a great smile until he quit smiling." Opie goes, "Why'd he quit smiling?" "Because he didn't have any teeth left." He turned around, went back in there, and brushed his teeth. He didn't punch him. He didn't hit him. He didn't knock a tooth out. He just instructed him. How many of God's the same way?
Amen.
Well, I got a lot of lame illustrations going on tonight. But anyway, I hope you're getting something. How many know God teaches us by his word, right?
Amen.
And of course, absolutely. I do believe you can grow in the midst of tribulation and stuff like that. I don't doubt that. But it's because you use the word.
Amen.
The word's what caused you to grow.
Amen.
So he said, verse 17, "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in." Now notice, all this stuff will come at you, but he's talked about it entering into your life. "It chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these," pay attention to verse 20, I want to get to this. "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and 100-fold. So what brings forth fruit in our life? It's the word. And it's by receiving the word. Amen? So what about our prayer life? Well, the word's valuable to our prayer life. How much we receive the word into our prayer life is how much fruit we're going to bear. It was a revelation to find out to me that God's not moved by our sad countenance. Think about it. And you can't make God feel sorry for you and move on your behalf. Now, he's touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but didn't say he moved because of them. Come on, are you with me tonight? See, what moves him? His word moves him. Faith moves him. We'll actually talk about, I think the next one in this series is on faith, how faith, you know, faith is vital to our prayer life. But the word's vital to our prayer life. No word, no faith. Now, what are we talking about? Incorporating the word in your prayer life. Well, you need to base your prayers on the word. You need to go find out what the word says about it. What's the word say? What does the, you know, this is real simple, but it's powerful. And I think a lot of times it gets missed. The fact that, you know, we have a covenant with God, and it's based on an agreement. It's based on his word. Amen. Go to John's Gospel, chapters 15. Go there, John 15. I'm going to look at a few passages tonight in our time just teaching tonight. John 15. You know, God told Joshua, he said, "The word's the key to your success. Meditate the law day and night, and you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success." So it was up to Joshua whether he's going to have good success or not. Not up to God. And it's not up to God, you know, whether we're going to have good success. Sometimes years ago, and I'm sure there's still that way in some places, people thought, you know, it was up to God whether their prayers got answered. Did you know Jesus said everyone that asks shall receive. Everyone that asks receives. Right? In other words, what I read out of that, now I know this, this is a whole teaching altogether. I do have a teaching on this, but this whole teaching altogether, I know that every prayer everybody prays, they don't actually get it. But Jesus said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive." Everyone that asks, what Jesus say? Everyone that asks, Everyone that asks, I'm not trying to trick you, receives. Shall we try this again? Everyone that asks, they receive, right? Well, what did Jesus say? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. You have to believe you received, and you shall have them. So he said receiving and having is two different things. Receiving, that means God released it. Having means you physically got it in your possession. Now, the habit, you got to believe you received it, which means you got to believe God gave it. Right? And then the Lord said, everyone that asks receives. Come on, this isn't really deep, is it? But it's easy to understand. But you got to understand, when God talks about asking, he's talking about asking in line with his word. Of course he doesn't. We've got scripture, which we may look at later. He doesn't hear it if it's not according to his word. Now, John's gospel, look at this, John chapter 15, verse 7. He said, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, notice it talks about that the word abiding in you. Amen? And if the word abides in you, you abide in the Lord. That means you stay hooked up with the Lord. And his words abide in you. You can ask what you will, and you're going to get it. Why? Because what you're going to ask is going to be based on the word, because the word's in you. Amen. See, the Bible talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. So he connects the word and prayer together. So it must be important. All right. Now, like I said, I'm going to look at some scripture tonight, but all of it's going to, bring this out that our prayers need to be word-based. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I just want to read just one verse at the end of the chapter, verse 16. You got it? All right, verse 16, Paul said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I mean, God doesn't need our instruction, does he? Right? But we, hallelujah, that's, are you a we? But we have the mind of Christ. You go, Pastor, if I got it, I don't know it. Well, sometimes it doesn't show. He ever felt like, man, I need to stick that scripture up to my head and get in there. What does he mean we have the mind of Christ? Well, if you read the previous verses, he talks about that we don't speak with man's wisdom, but we speak with words that the Holy Ghost teaches. See? Well, what words would the Holy Ghost teach? It'd be the Word of God, right? So when he says we have the mind of Christ, When we have the Word, how do you know we have the mind of Christ? The Word is the mind of Christ. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God, see? His Word is His will. All right, so how do we have the mind of Christ? Well, we'd have it by the Word of God. It isn't like, God zaps us with something and all of a sudden, we've got the mind of Christ. You get in a prayer line and zip, you got the mind of Christ. I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't work that way. And obviously, that's not the way it's supposed to work. It worked that way. I don't know about you, but, I have flesh. I mean, got flesh. My flesh wants the easy way. Hallelujah. Just zap me. I don't have to work for anything. I'd love to play the piano if God would just zap me. But you know what? He doesn't do that. Now, he might help me if I decided to do that and it was his will, but he's not going to zap me. I'm on a mission to lose some weight. Been there doing that for years. But I'm really on a mission right now. And, I want to lose, so many pounds. I don't know. I can't figure it, but it's a double-digit number. I know that. Whatever. I know it's in the double digits, but, I would love for God to zap me. Get in a prayer line and God just zap you, and there you went 25 pounds. I'm thinking, well, I'm getting back in. Hallelujah. Can you get in this line twice? But how many know? God will help you do that, but how do you know he's not going to zap you? Well, I don't understand. A woman asked me this one time, bless her heart, and she was sincere, you know, and I explained it to her. She said, well, why can't we cast the calories out? Well, you know, this Bible talks about casting demons out, but it doesn't say anything about, in my name, you'll cast the calories out. You know, God put the calories in there to fuel your body. If you want to overfuel until it flows out, that's your choice. God's not going to change the law for us to be gluttons. Can we say that like that? I don't know. We did. How many understand? That's just the law. Calories. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you can do whatever you want. People go, I mean, I've got friends, they're on diets all the time. You know, all different kinds of diets. You know, whatever the popular thing is, they're on this special type of diet. And I'm not knocking that if it helps people. Some of it maybe some clicks with you. Maybe one thing clicks with you. You know, I don't know. But here's what I do know. It all comes down, you can't eat as much. You got to burn more than you eat if you're going to lose weight. You got to take in less calories. You got to burn more calories than you take in, or you don't lose weight. You can buy the book 50 Ways to Lose Your Blubber, and it's all the same principle, because it's put in there by God. No diet book can change it.
Come on now.
You know, don't get offended with me. You do whatever you want to. But someone was talking to us the other day about how your body turns certain things you eat into sugar. I thought, well, my body's not stupid. If it turns it into sugar, it must need it. That went over big. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I just got to thinking when we were talking about that. Wait a minute. If my body is turning it into sugar, why is it doing it? Is it stupid? Did God make it wrong? No. It must think it needs to do that. I just want it to turn it into sugar when it hits my lips. I mean, if you're going to turn it into sugar, don't wait till it gets in there or something. I don't know. Come on, we're preaching really good tonight. Amen. Don't have a falling out with me. I mean, you know, you eat whatever you want to eat, you know. But here's the thing. It all comes down to the same thing. It doesn't matter how you do it. You got to take in less than you know.
That's right. Come on.
If you're burning 2,000 a day, you're going to have to take in 1,500 to do anything. No matter which way you go about it. What? Amen. Why did we get off on this? Well, we were talking about the mind of Christ. See, the mind of Christ, it's not like God's going to zap you, you're going to get born again, and all of a sudden, whoa, I got the mind of Christ. Well, you do have, but it's through the Word. Right? So, how many know His mind is better than your mind? Is that right? His mind's better than your mind. I'd rather pray His mind than my mind. Well, that didn't go over very big. But I just figure His mind's better than mine. I'll take His. And I'd rather, look, I'd rather pray what He has to say than what I have to say. Come on, help me out. See, I think what He has to say is far more important than what I have to say. So I'm going to go find out what He had to say about the subject. Okay? What He have to say about certain things I'm praying about. What did He say about it? See, whatever He said, that's what matters.
That's right. Amen.
Not what I say.
Amen.
Come on, you can say amen.
Amen.
Some of you are still trying to figure out, how can I do this? How can I lose weight and not do it the way Pastor said? I don't know if you figured out, let me know, because I want to know, baby. Hallelujah. I like to eat. I don't know about you. You know, people used to say, you know, well, you know, I remember we went through the phase, you know, they were trying to figure out, why do you overeat? And they would get, we went through this phase. Some of you might be too young to remember, but we went through this phase on the diet thing. There's reasons why you overeat. You're lonely. You had something go wrong in your childhood. I just had to say, no, I because it tastes good. If everything tasted bad, I'd lose weight. I mean, if chocolate cake, you know, tasted like cottage cheese, I wouldn't eat chocolate cake. If everything in life tasted like cottage cheese, I'd be skinny.
You'd be dead.
I'd be dead.
Well, I think it tastes nasty, okay? Nothing about spoiled milk tempts me at all. I mean, as soon as it's spoiled, it's down the drain, baby. I mean, even I always sniff the milk before I drink it. Let me check this out, man. This has got an expiration date. Hallelujah. So listen, we need to understand, we need to pray the mind of Christ. Are you with me now? All right. We need to pray the mind of Christ. What he has to say is far more important than anything we have to say or that's on our mind is far more important. Amen. Remember Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. He said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. That's John 6:63. So that tells me our fleshly prayers, they don't profit anything. They need to have some spirit and life to them, which is the Word gives them spirit and life. See? So we need to base it on the Word. I'm not saying we have to pray the Scripture verbatim. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it needs to be based on the Word. You know, we used to pray for more power in Pentecostal circles. God, give us more power. Lord, give us more power. And then it's like, wait a minute here. There isn't any Scripture that says to pray for more power. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's that? I need to learn to work with Him because I've received power. Now, you know, I need to do, instead of praying for power, I just need to be praying, spending time with Him. He is the power. You know, it's like, how is God going to answer that prayer? Well, Gabriel, we gave Him the Holy Spirit. Do we have anything else up here to give Him? They need more than that. You see the problem? I mean, it's like, what's God going to do, you know? Amen. See, or, you know, people pray, I've heard people pray for healing. Lord, heal him if it's your will. How could God answer that? What's he supposed to do with that? There's no word in that. Amen. You know, Lord, if it's your will, heal him. If it's not, well, just let him die. We don't pray it that way, but that's what we're saying. Well, God can't do anything with that. Well, I like to pray according to His will, and I just believe that we pray, if it be thy will. Jesus prayed, if it be thy will. Well, He did one time, and that was when He was just trying to discern the will of God for His life. Of course, we'd pray if that way. You know, Lord, if you want me to do this in ministry, if you want me to do this, but His promises, they're not if. Paul said they're yes and amen. So we need to go find out what He said and find out whether He said yes or He said amen. Either one worked for me. But if they're His promises, He said one or the other, yes or amen or both, yes and amen. Are you with me now? He didn't say no. You know, Brother Hagin tells a story about a guy. Actually, he was a minister of the gospel. And he said, in the hospital, and he was dying. And so Brother Hagin went to pray for him, and he said, oh, Doc, he said, it's no use praying for me. He said, the Lord showed me it's not His will to heal me. He said, well, how did He show you? He said, well, there was a man came into my room the other night, and he said he was dressed in a robe, and he had sandals on. And see, he had a supernatural visitation here. And he said, he said to me, it's not my will to heal you, and he disappeared. Now, this guy wasn't making this up. This was a seasoned minister that really saw something. Well, you know what? The hippies wore robes and sandals. Everything that wears a robe and a sandal isn't Jesus. And so, Brother Hagin, I love what Brother Hagin said. He said, let me ask you this. He said, we're praying for your brother who's not saved to be saved, right? He said, yeah. He said, what if someone showed up and told him it wasn't God's will for him to be saved? He said, it'd be the devil. He said, well, the same thing here. Prayed for the guy and he got healed. Now, I don't know who came in his room, but it wasn't God. We base things on what He said in His Word, not on our experience. Well, I prayed and I didn't get healed. Well, that's your experience. That's not His Word. I've prayed and I didn't get it. But that's not, now listen, I don't base the will of God on what happened to me. I base it on what He said. I'm just going to change my life somewhere or another. I'm going to have to rearrange, do something different, because if He said it, that's the way it is. I don't care what happens. Well, I prayed for a pastor. I went out and laid hands on 10 people and they died. Well, see if you can get another one to come up. See, that doesn't change what he said. I've prayed for people and they've died too. That doesn't change me one bit. I don't know what happened there, but I know what his word said. Unless he would tell me, I wouldn't necessarily need to know what happened. You know, that's between them and the Lord. You know what I'm saying? People can talk faith. I went and prayed for a guy one time. I'll never forget this guy. And, you know, he was a good man. Nothing wrong with him. But I went in and prayed for him, me and another elder from our church. Went in and prayed for him. And, he talked faith out his mouth. But something inside me said he's just saying that because you guys are here and he knows you how you believe. And so when we left, you know, the guys with me, he said, boy, that was great, man. He's full of faith. I said, no, he's not. He's going to die. I said, he didn't believe a word of that. So you could talk it, but you got to believe it. And he did die. Well, see, you don't always know how people are really believing. They can say one thing and be thinking something totally different. But God's word never changes. Hallelujah. So I'll stick with his word. If he said lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I'll lay hands on anybody sick and leave the recovery between them and God. And just know that what God said, he'll do his part. I said, he'll do his part. If they'll just hook up with him, he'll do his part. If he ever breaks his word, we'll find out about it. Everything will disappear because he said, I swear by myself. Hallelujah. Which means if he ever breaks it, he'll judge himself. If God ever judges himself, look out, we're all in trouble. What happens if God disappears? Well, he's upholding everything by the word of his power. We're all in trouble. Amen. Come on, are you with me tonight? Amen. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. We may close here. We'll see. Isaiah 46. Go here. Just kind of want to touch something here. Isaiah chapter 46. I don't know. Maybe this is a little strong for some people, some of your relatives. But anyway, Isaiah 43 instead of 46. But, you know, you and I are supposed to eat on the meat of the word. You know, just mess around with this. I don't know. I don't know if you know what Blue John is or not. You know what Blue John? I figured you would, you know, coming from where you came from. Hallelujah. Blue John, you know how you have vitamin D whole milk? See, milk's in my refrigerator. It's got a red cap on it. Red cap means vitamin D whole milk. And then you go to 2%, then you go to skim. And what they do, they keep cutting the cream out of it. And it gets more, it's more water than it is milk. And so there's something called Blue John. They don't sell it in the store, but years ago, people used to have it. And Blue John is milk until it's cut the cream out, till it's got a blue cast to it, a blue tint. There's a little bit of milk cream in that, but it's mostly just water. See, that's what some people live off of spiritually. See, the Bible says, if you desire the sincere milk of the word, you'll grow. So if people aren't growing, they're not even getting milk. You know what I'm saying? They're just getting Blue John. And I don't know. To me, I don't like it. I don't even, you know, everybody has their different deals. I don't like skim milk. Maybe you do. My wife doesn't even like milk. But I like it. Amen. I mean, you know, since I'm the one in the house, just in case you ever come to my house, you want some milk. Just want you to know this. Since I'm the one who drinks at my house, sometimes I'll just walk by the refrigerator, take a cap off, and chug. So just so you know that, if you ever visit me, and you want, I'd like a glass of milk. Just so you know, I may have done that, because she doesn't drink it, so I thought, it's just me, you know what I'm saying? Don't have a cat or a dog, so it's me. So, hey, why waste a glass for this? I'm just going to take a chug here. Hallelujah. You ought to see me eat chips, man. You know, my wife said, she said, okay. It's just a guy thing. You know, she says, stand over the sink. You know, because, you know, I'm not, you know, when I'm hungry for chips, it's not dainty like, oh, let's grab one. No, let's grab them. Mm-hmm. She'll say, get over the sink. I shouldn't tell. This is going to come back to bite me. But one time, Pastor Debbie and I were eating donuts over the sink like that. She was on one side. I mean, when them Krispy Kreme, you know, all those things, I mean, you can have a runaway. You know what I'm saying? They got the glory on them. Hallelujah. Where I was preaching for a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee one time. And he said, man, let's go to Ruth Chris after service this morning. I'm going to take you to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I said, okay, great, man. And so after service, you know, we go to Ruth Chris and find out it doesn't open until 4 o'clock. Well, it's already later in the afternoon, you know. Time we had service and it got over with and we left this, where he was having church at and all, and got into downtown Nashville and all. And so, you know, so he said, okay, let's go to Krispy Kreme before we go to, that's a bad idea, I'll tell you right now. Let's go to Krispy Kreme before we go to Ruth Chris. Well, I was all for it. Praise God. That sounded like God to me. So, you know, we're watching those donuts, you know, on the conveyor belt, you know. Have you ever seen that? And we're watching, he's narrating it. You know, they're going through the fire, you know, and they're coming out, and then you get to the place where the cream comes, you know, the icing gets on. He says, that's the glory right there. That's the glory. I thought, sounds right to me. Hallelujah. Now, just for the record, I don't go to Krispy Kreme because I have no quitting sense. All right, I always wanted a Krispy Kreme, but I found out I don't need a Krispy Kreme because I don't know when to stop. I haven't been there in probably a year. And before that, I hadn't been there in probably 2 or 3 years. But it's good. Hallelujah. It's of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43. You got it?
Got it?
All right. Verse 26. God said, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou that you may be justified. Put me in remembrance. How do you put somebody in remembrance? You remind them what they said. Since we're talking about food, if you said, Pastor, you know what? You pick a date. You just choose a date. I'm going to take you out, get you a steak, wherever you want to get one at. You know, I'll probably remind you of that. I mean, you know, a couple weeks, nothing's happened. I wouldn't think anything about it. You know, a month goes by. I'm thinking, hey, you know what? You remember what you said? See, I'm just telling you what you said, right? I'm not making anything up. I'm not injecting my own desire here. I'm just saying what you said. You said, I'm going to take you to a steakhouse. You just named it. You just name it, all right? Okay, so I'm going to remind you. When God says, put me in remembrance, what's he saying? Remind me, right? Remind me what I said. Remind me what I said. See, the Bible says this about God in Psalm 111. He says he's always mindful of his covenant. An interesting thing, Chronicles tells us, be ever mindful of his covenant. Think about that word mindful. Break it up. Mind. Full. Have your mind full of his covenant. How do you do that? You got to do what Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. You got to sow the word on a regular basis. Have your mind full. Your mind can be full of a lot of different things. See, if you could have your mind full of, you know, current events. You could have your mind full of worry. You could have your mind full of a lot of things. But God wants us to have our mind full of his covenant. So that comes out our mouth. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand the word's valuable to our prayer life. Amen? All right. Listen, Psalm 119, we don't need to go there, but Psalm 119, 89 says that forever God's word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
So up there, guess what's settled? See, it needs to get settled here on earth in our lives, right? It's settled up there. In other words, God said, there's no argument about it up here. No doubt about it up here. What I said, it's settled. All right, so if our prayer goes to heaven full of the Word, it's settled. Because the Word's settled. Mm-mm-mm. I could preach a lot of different sermons on that. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4:5. Let's close here. You get something tonight?
Yes.
1 John chapter 5. So our prayer life needs to be based on the Word. Thank God for His compassion, His mercy. But listen, He's moved by His Word. He's moved by compassion. I know that. But He's moved by His Word. His Word is what moves Him. Where did I tell you to go? 1 John? Okay, thank you. 1 John. So God's moved. You know, sometimes we people think, like a lady, this lady passed on. It's been several years ago. When she passed on, one person in the church said, "Well, if anybody deserved to be healed, it was her." I don't understand. How many know nobody deserved to be healed? Now, she might have been a good person, don't misunderstand me, but good doesn't get you healed.
Right.
Believe in what the Word says gets you healed.
Right.
Good doesn't get you protected.
Right.
You know, you need to be good, but it's not that alone. It's not. In other words, if you're trying to base it on that, you need to be good, don't misunderstand me. But if you're trying to base it on that, you're basing it on the wrong thing.
Right.
Amen. You know, God bases it on His Word. That's what's settled.
Amen.
Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Well, what if it's not according to His will? What would be His will? His Word, right? So we could read it that way, and we're saying the same thing. This is the confidence or faith that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His Word, He hears us. All right? So how do we know whether God heard us? Because it's according to His Word. How many, it's not according to, yeah, I felt like God heard me. Now, I've had those times in prayer, I felt like, man, the presence of God was manifesting. I mean, yeah. But I've also had those times where I felt like, you know, is anybody home? Come on, we be honest about it? Sure. All right. See, you can get tripped up in those times and think, well, you know, I guess God didn't hear me because I just didn't feel anything. You know, that may be when He heard you the most. Because it's not based on what you feel. Matter of fact, it takes more faith. Listen, it takes more faith to believe He heard you when you don't feel anything, than when you feel something.
Amen.
You understand the way I'm saying that?
Yes.
So you may be in more faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like nothing's happening.
Amen.
It's just based on what He said. I've prayed for people and I've thought, that was dead, and they got healed.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, it's not based on what you feel. I've preached sermons and I thought, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but I want to go home. This just ain't going over well. And then somebody come up and said, "That's the best sermon I ever heard." I thought, gosh, what was you listening to? You know, so you can't base it on that. I've seen people in their faces before and I thought, you know, they certainly aren't enjoying this at all. And then afterwards they come up and say, you know, that blessed me. That changed my life. I'm thinking, man, next time tell your face. Your face broke. I think some people's smile is broke, you know. It's gone. It's out. It's just like, come on. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so if we ask anything according to His Word, He hears us. Now, notice this. If we know that He heard us, how many know you got to know He heard you? Even if you ask according to His will, if you don't know He heard you, we got a problem. There's no faith here. So, how can I have confidence He heard me? If you ask according to His will, His Word gives you confidence in your prayer life. So, if we ask anything according to His will, if we know He hears us, and if we know He heard us, whatever we ask, we know, everybody say no, that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Other words, His Word guarantees our prayers. Give me some examples. Well, let me just give you this. We'll close right here. I'll give you some examples. I'm going to look at these scriptures. But what if you were praying over a situation of depression? What about Isaiah says that He'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Isn't that what the Word says? What if you're praying over your children? Maybe they've gone wayward. Maybe they've temporarily lost their mind. What do you pray? Isaiah 54:13 says, "And all your children shall be taught of the Lord."
Jeremiah 31, 15 through 17, God said, I'll bring your children back to you from the where they wandered off. What if somebody is injured? I use this when some people are injured. Jeremiah 30, 17, God said, I'll restore healing and health to you and heal you of your wounds. That's what the Word said. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. You see what I'm saying? These are things that incorporate the Word. What about if you have a need? Well, Genesis 22, 14 says, God's Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. Philippians says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. See, you base your prayer on those kind of things. I'm not saying you have to quote the Scripture. It won't hurt, but I'm just saying that's what you base it on, and when you do, you know God hears you.
Amen.
That gets an audience in heaven.
Right.
So all the things we say on earth when we get up there, we won't say. How many believe that?
Amen.
I don't think you'll be going around saying, oh, that's killing me. I don't think they, in heaven, that word kill is needed much. You follow this? See, heaven is based on the Word. And it and God's Word settled up there. What we need to do is get it settled down here. When I pray, I want to base it according to the Word. I know this is simple tonight, but it's amazing how many people still, even when they're praying for healing, will say, Lord, just whatever you want here, whatever your will is. No, see, he didn't say what things soever I want. When you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. He said, what do you want? Amen. Final story. And I've told this before, but there's an old-time evangelist that during the tent meetings of the 50s, healing evangelist, he's one of the, actually, he had, at the time, he had the largest tent of anybody in America. He had a tent that would seat over 20,000 people. Can you imagine a tent? But he had one that would seat over 20,000 people. His name was Jack Cole. And he told this story himself. He said one time after a meeting, he was in this restaurant, you know, and he was going to get something to eat after the meeting. And he said people were coming in. It was maybe a Saturday night, Friday night. And he said people that had been drinking were coming in, and they were ordering T-bone steaks and stuff like that. And you got to understand, we're in a time now of abundant prosperity in our country, okay? But in those days, people still struggled, you know, quite a bit. And he said, I ordered a hamburger. And he said, I got to feeling sorry for myself because here I am. I'm working for God. I've been preaching. I've been, you know, giving everything I got for the kingdom. And here I am eating a hamburger, and these sinners are coming in, and they're eating T-bone steak. He said, so I began to talk to God about it and said, God, this just doesn't seem right. Here these sinners are coming in. They don't live for you. They don't work for you. And they're eating T-bone steak. And I live for you. And I work for you. And, you know, I'm ordering a hamburger. You know right now that God's not going to party. He's not going to jump in your pity party, right? But he learned. He said he heard the voice of the Lord strong come back to him and say, Jack, I didn't order that hamburger. You did. Now that changed things. He began to realize, I have this because that's what I expect to have.
Yeah.
I like a good hamburger. Don't misunderstand me. But he just simply was, see, what I'm saying is a lot of times people think, well, whatever God wants. God didn't say what I want. He said, what do you desire?
Right.
Well, I'll just take whatever the Lord give me. You know what you're going to get? Nothing. Because He's already given everything. It's up to you to receive it. You're not going to take what the Lord gives you. You're going to take what you receive. You need to find out what He's given and receive that. Hallelujah. David said, the Lord is my portion. And then he said, my cup runneth over. Portion's what's given, cup's what's received. Hallelujah. See, there may be a gallon of milk in my refrigerator. That's my portion. But I may go get a cup, and that's all I receive. I could drink the whole gallon if I wanted to. That's why I choose what I'm going to have. Does that help you out? Stand up. Praise God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.